Hey everybody, welcome back to the Perpetua Podcast. I am joined today by one of our newest coaches, join the team, super experienced, and we're so excited to have you part of the Perpetua family. Jay, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you so much for obviously having me here today, and absolutely buzzing to be a part of this team, and just haven't even started yet, but obviously the vibes of everybody, the facility, just absolutely buzzing, man.
Yeah, he was just saying, guys, before off air with that, how quickly I was texting him back. So I'm really, really keen. So like anyone that's listening to us right now, it's not watching on video, accent is from South Africa.
South Africa, yeah.
So tell me more, like before pre-Ireland and everything like that, who is Jay, where is he from in South Africa, and how did you get into training?
So I grew up in pretty humble beginnings in South Africa. Have a pretty big family as well. So I have a family that's always done sport, and I've always been surrounded with siblings or cousins that have been participating in sports, and my mom was pretty active as well. And then when I was in primary school, I know the schooling system here is a little bit different.
primary school,
I played a lot of football or soccer, and absolutely loved it. And like any youngster wanted to go to, you know, play professional soccer. Yeah. And like that was my dream. And I was always a all-in type of guy. Like that's just been my mindset always. And then I managed to get a really good bursary to a really well-known school in South Africa. It's JP High School for Boys. So it was an all-boys school, and was really blessed with that opportunity. Like I mentioned, my mom would never have been able to afford that type of opportunity for me. And then ended up going to that school, and it was a very big rude awakening, because I came from being like the top dog at my primary school, although I was only like 13 years old or whatever. Yeah. But and then everybody was like really good, because sports was a big thing where I was. And I eventually built my way up, left the soccer behind. My sister played really good water polo, so I was a really decent swimmer, and I got involved with the water polo. But then when the rugby season came along, I then jumped into rugby. I was so shit in the beginning. But like I said, like I just worked at it and worked at it and worked at it, and built up a passion for it. And as you may know, South Africa with rugby, it's like a religion.
We don't like it over here, man. We don't like it. Yeah.
So if you wanted to be a part of the cool kids, like you had to play good rugby, and eventually built my way up, started playing decent rugby, and obviously with the rugby, the training started picking up as well, and I just fell in love with the gym. So I wasn't necessarily the most skillful rugby player, but I was always willing to work really hard, and that meant putting in hours in the gym and off the field, and that's kind of how I found my love for training as a whole. That was that. And then after that, I got way too many concussions. Unfortunately, ended my career really quickly. And that was the goal again. It was to take it professional. However, just too many concussions, and just wasn't the right thing to do going forward. Like the doctor just said, like it's not the best for you. And obviously, my mom wasn't too keen on it either. So then I stayed in the gym, and kind of got heavily involved in the bodybuilding scene, which was a little bit of a toxic environment with an addictive personality.
Yeah.
And went down the wrong path here and there, and made a few mistakes, and ended up finding myself in hospital at a really young age, due to like certain problems with my body, and things weren't working so well. And then I decided to change things up. Like it took my body a long time to recuperate, and I used to work in a gym as a fitness instructor, and that was like, it was a big global gym, so I don't know if you're familiar with the gym Virgin Active. So they're all around the world, but pretty big in South Africa. And I was studying to be a PT at the stage, and then I became a fitness instructor. So it's like where you pack weights away and, you know, help the odd person here and there, do a body measurement. But it wasn't necessarily personal training as a whole. But I would take a few classes, like strength and conditioning classes, more of a functional type thing. And Virgin Active introduced this thing called Grid Games. And what it was is very similar to like a functional competition.
Yeah.
And what they try to do is just incorporate a little bit more interaction from a competitive standpoint. And how it worked is very similar to like regionals or the Open, for example. So you'd try and be the fittest in your gym, then the fittest in your area, and then it was fittest in the country, and then it became fittest in the world. So we competed against all the Virgin Actives in the world, and I ended up winning that competition.
The champ?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I was the Virgin Active champ.
Brilliant. In South Africa or worldwide?
Worldwide.
Really?
Yeah. So it was all the Virgin Actives from around the world. Now, there aren't Virgin Actives all over.
Yeah.
But there's some in the States. There's a lot in the UK.
Big
Australia.
Countries.
Yeah. Yeah, New Zealand. So I was like, oh, man. I enjoyed that type of training. And it gave me that same sensation of like rugby training, like working towards something outside of just looking a certain way. And one of the ladies that I ended up doing it with, she was really good as well. And she belonged to a CrossFit gym just down the road. And she was like, listen, why don't you come try CrossFit? And I was like, oh, yeah, that seems cool. And went. And from there, the rest was history, man. Like, I absolutely fell in love with it. And then I just took up CrossFit as a full-time gig. And as everybody wanted to go to the games within the first week, you know, and realized very quickly what it took. But yeah, that's kind of how... a long-winded way of how I found CrossFit.
Yeah, no, but it's good. Yeah. It's a good story. Everyone has a like unique story in terms of how they found CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
And like how it kind of changed their, I suppose, trajectory in their career, but also in the way they would approach training.
100%.
Which I think is important. We were like speaking again off air, myself, you and Craig, and we were like saying how important CrossFit as a methodology can help you, can I suppose prepare you for so many things in life.
100%.
Whether it's a High Rocks event or like a, you know, a half marathon or whatever it is. Like, I think people sometimes forget the actual methodology of CrossFit is so good.
Oh, it's unreal.
It's so good. And like, and I'm so proud that we're still here 16 years later within Ireland an affiliate. So we're going to keep this going.
Truly incredible.
But I suppose that goes back to your first, when you walked into that gym the first time, can you remember your first CrossFit workout?
I can. It wasn't a benchmark workout or anything, but it was D-ball, it was running and toes to bar. And I came in pretty shredded, like from a bodybuilding scene.
Yeah.
And people obviously think, oh, his toes to bar are going to be unreal. And I ended up doing V-ups, man. And I remember it was the most humbling experience just because, you know, you come in looking a certain way. Mm. And I think that's also another reason why I fell in love with CrossFit, because you have the likes of a 60-year-old woman, a 16-year-old boy, totally different experiences, but everybody's there doing the same thing. But you can have someone that looks very different to you, but is absolutely destroying you
in that workout.
And that was just really humbling, but also like hooked me immediately. You know, like, oh, there's so much to learn, there's so much to figure out, there's so much skill involved. It's not just a workout, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday.
It prepares you for a lot. I think I got humbled by like a kettlebell swing. Which literally, it's still a king of the movements,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. We bring that, we talk about it a lot here as well. We like the kettlebell swing, like, you know, you're doing 30, 40 reps. Like it really is.
Yeah.
It tests you a lot, but it like as you said there, like the environment in terms of like a CrossFit class is amazing because you do go up against 100%. Everyone, right? So let's say that goes back into, I suppose, brings us into, let's say, your coaching. So you got coaching in a CrossFit gym. How did you feel, or I suppose how did that impact you as an individual in terms of helping people with the, let's say, CrossFit methodology?
Yeah, so before the actual coaching happened, this was during COVID when I found CrossFit.
Okay.
So I was finishing off a qualification that I was doing as a PT. Did a few things extra because I thought obviously I just wanted to be a PT. And then the coach that I was with, massive credits to him. They own a very successful affiliate back in South Africa, and he's been doing it for a long time, and he kind of took me under his wing, and he could see that I found the passion for the training side of things, but he obviously saw that I had a passion for coaching. So what he would allow me to do was do PT in the side of the gym, like out of class hours, and he said, would you be interested in doing your level one? And I said, absolutely. And fortunately enough, the gym was hosting a level one. So the gym gains a free level one for one of the members or whatever. And they awarded me with that opportunity. And I just couldn't believe how much CrossFit equips you. Like I felt after one weekend, I had known more over a year's qualification worth of studying PT. And not only the theory aspect of coaching, but the connection that they try and bring in terms of the relationships you build with members and how important it is. And that's something that's always resonated with me. And one of the things that he always told me, this coach, he said, you know, at the end of the day, Owen will always be grateful for you teaching him how to squat or how to snatch. But when you leave that building, he'll always remember how you made him feel.
Mm.
And for me, that's something that I really carry so deep as a coach, whether I have a CrossFit level one, a level two, I've done further qualifications on the side. The way that I treat members on a day-to-day basis has become how I identify myself as a coach. And because, you know, Dolores, who's 60 years old, like, she's not interested in squatting 200 kgs, but she's so interested in remembering the fact that she has grandkids that she's trying to help out.
Yeah.
And if I know that, then my approach to her is different, you know? So whereas I had the understanding of becoming a coach or a PT is it's just fixing the way you look and the way you feel in terms of a health perspective. But there's so much more to it. And I feel the CrossFit methodology in terms of a coaching approach really helped me click from a relationship perspective and not necessarily only a performance perspective.
And so did you feel as if you had that your whole life? Because it's interesting the way you say that. Like, you know, I suppose, let's say you came into CrossFit and coaching and you feel as if you had that impact. Because as a CrossFit coach or as any coach, like, more, especially as a CrossFit coach, you do have that impact. That's their, like, the 60 minutes, the classic thing, 60 minutes of their day, like, is a game changer.
So for me, like, I've always been a team player and I've always loved people. That's just who I am. It's the way I grew up, is just being, you know, I wouldn't say being Mr. Popular, but I was always amongst people, you know, in school, outside of school. I resonate with people and I can relate to many people's, like, backgrounds or situations. So I think it's been a blessing to have so much experience outside that you can bring into the gym as well.
Mm.
So people feel that they can relate with you. So for me, it's always been, I wouldn't say easy, but I've always been able to manage building relationships and connections with people outside of just a coaching, like, hey, this is the snatch, or hey, this is a back squat type of thing. But who are you as a person and how can I help you?
That's cool, man, because the impact, as I said, like, I don't know, we've kind of repeated it, but, like, the impact you have on people is huge.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, stories that kind of come to mind in terms of, like, let's say, big impacts you would have on people?
There's quite a few. There's not one that comes to the top of my head. I'd have to think
we'd be
about
here
it
all day, probably.
Yeah, that's
probably a good thing, because there's so much.
Yeah, and I think it's sometimes not like this massive story, but it's little things, you know, like helping somebody recover from an injury, or taking the time outside of class to help someone with their toes to bar, or, you know, helping someone get a new PB that they're now able to resignate to somewhere else. And for me, it's the mental strength that people develop from CrossFit. Like, we were obviously chatting about it previously outside, but, you know, CrossFit provides you with such a mental strength when life starts getting hard. Like, I've had clients that have, you know, been fighting cancer, and it's when things start getting tough in a workout, it's being able to relate that to everyday life, you know. And also the reverse side of things is, at the end of the day, as coaches, I think sometimes we get so caught up in our programming and our workouts and our cues, but we don't realize that people have a life outside of the gym. And we also get so caught up in, like, thinking that's all they care about as well is the gym. And it's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, it's the 1 hour of the day where they're trying to free up stress, and here we are trying to, like, dial in. And obviously we're coming from a good space, but also just realizing that people are sometimes just need time off, and that's them just coming and doing their switch off. And I think reading people has become a skill as obviously as you progress and hours and hours and hours of coaching, and as you become able to read people more, I think you can see, okay, they're not having the best day, or oh, they are switched on today. And those people that aren't having the best day, I think the moment you walk up to them and be like, hey, it's okay today, like, take it easy, and you can immediately see the switch in their mindset, being like, oh man, I just really appreciate that. So like, just little things like that, I mean, that all builds up and builds up over time, where you can just be like, oh, that's why we do this at the end of the day.
Yeah. You obviously love coaching, right?
Yeah.
Which is really good to see, and obviously the impact you have on people. But tell me, what is Jay like, let's say, even outside the gym?
So my obviously I love training. I've always loved training, and for a long time it's who I identified myself as. But as obviously as you grow up and you realize a few things, like, and you get injured and you have those battles within yourself, like,
concussions.
I can't train anymore. Yeah. I don't play rugby anymore. So, and you lose that sense of identity,
but your direction, nearly.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you realize that there's more to life than just training. Mm. And like I said previously, I made a lot of wrong decisions, as some of us have in our past, and it led me down the wrong path, wrong groups. Ended up parting from a really young age, and it just led me down making a few mistakes that I shouldn't have made. But it's experience at the end of the day. But that's how I found my faith. So I'm a Christian, and that's a big part of who I am. So whether it's the likes of going to church, you know, spending time in those type of communities, and that's probably where most of my identity lies now. And that's also why I feel like I have such a strong connection with people, just because of what I believe in, outside of coaching and training and all of that type of stuff. And then also, I'm a fiance, so getting married soon, so have a missus at home that obviously we like spending a lot of time together.
But you guys met in the gym, no?
Met in the gym.
CrossFit gym.
The same CrossFit gym where I started. So, yeah. So that's also a great story within itself. But I'm quite a chill guy. I don't really get up too much outside of the gym. Chilled at home. Like to read books. Like to just be amongst people. And I find myself often spending time with people outside of the gym that are from the gym.
Yep.
You know, like the community.
Which is good, isn't it? It's such a good mix. And like, even when I actually moved to Dublin originally at the start, I kind of was a little bit lost. I came from Galway and I didn't really know who I was going to hang around with people outside work. And when I first joined CrossFit Dublin, like, it was like a new sense of community for me to even hang around with a group of people. And I just absolutely, like, just loved it so much because it was just something different than 100%. What I was used to before, you know? So then you'll obviously work with an awful lot of people within classes and stuff like that. I think it's in, like, you're obviously going to be on the floor very soon, which is exciting, right? And I'm sure you're excited yourself. What would be like one common, I say, thing you would tell a CrossFit or a new CrossFit member to look out for when they're joining classes for the first time?
Come in with an open mind. Don't be afraid to ask questions. That's, I think, sometimes the biggest thing is you come into a gym and you think everybody knows what they're doing, in the sense of, they're all unbelievable athletes, and it's not always the case. You know, everybody's here just trying to get better. So focus on yourself. Make sure you do all your reps, and
make sure you do all your reps. Yeah,
and cool. And the rest will take care of itself. You know, like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed is, from experience, people that are willing to trust the process, trust the coaching, trust the coaches and the structure that they've developed. Because at the end of the day, that's what they're trying to do. They're just trying to benefit you. Mm. You know, be okay to be coached, be coachable. Like, that's one of the biggest things as well, is I find members that come in with maybe a little bit of an ego, or a little bit of a, I don't know how to say it, but think they know everything because, you know, they've been doing it for I don't know how long. But I think some of the best athletes or the best members are the ones that are willing to be coached. You know, that's why you're here. Allow us to help you.
Yeah, feedback is key. I think, like, I even enjoy that when the coaches train together. And if, like, it mightn't be a thing that you think would happen a lot, but then let's say if Craig or Laz or Pat came up to me and they were like, fix this, fix that. Yeah, I'm like, I haven't seen it in ages, but, you know, I want to get feedback. Mm. Even when I was a coach, coaching on the floor a lot, I had my own coach as well that I used to work with all the time and send him videos. And the one thing I used to look forward to was his comments back on the videos, feedback, because he wasn't in Ireland. So you should send him all these videos, the most basic things. It could have been a push-up on the floor and stuff like that. And you learn so much from it as an individual as well. Keep getting feedback. Feedback's key, yeah?
Yeah.
But I think it's also good as well that people come in from, let's say, again, high-performing jobs. Let's say we're surrounded here by high-performing individuals all the time. They nearly like to have an external voice 100%. Come in and help them, you know?
100%. And sometimes I find the people with the most demanding jobs, or people with the highest stature from a corporate perspective, not necessarily a social perspective, but a corporate perspective, they're so willing to receive feedback. And I think it's just because they can understand the importance of it.
Yeah.
Obviously with maybe their staff under them or whatever the case is. But I think high-performing people realize, okay, there is such a great power to being able to receive information,
yep.
you know, and being able to process that and apply it to you trying to get better, you know, because that's what we have to do at the end of the day is help you.
Mm.
And I think that's the bigger picture.
Okay, to finish up, it's a very simple question. We'll try and keep it nice and short. But why do you love, or I suppose, what do you love about CrossFit?
Again, the people. And then secondly, the methodology to help people get better from a mindset and then obviously from a physical perspective. I think it's pretty well put together in the sense of, you know, you're here with people getting better and you're challenging not only yourself but challenging people around you, and you're lifting everyone else up, but not only that, they lifting you up. And for me, I think when you do it together, you know, you go a lot further, whether that's, you know, from a community perspective or just your own performance perspective. So that's generally why I think to answer your question is, you know, loving the coaching side of things and the whole approach of, you know, doing it together.
Good. I like to hear that. Anyone that's listened, got this far in the podcast, thank you so much for listening to us. I'm sure it's good so far. They've listened to this podcast and you're going to tell them something they don't know about you so far in this podcast, but it might be a little bit weird or something strange. So what's going to be the icebreaker? Someone walks up to Jay and they say...
So I can play the harmonica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can play the harmonica, which I think is pretty different and I don't think people expect. And I can speak 3 languages.
Okay.
Wow. So obviously English, Afrikaans, which is a South African language, and then a little bit of Zulu and Xhosa, which is another South African language. So interesting fact, in South Africa, we have 11 languages.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
So it's not many compared to others, but it's more than most.
So a member is going to come up to you with a harmonica and you can just, yeah, start, yeah, you can just, yeah, go
stop
for it.
Busting it out.
That's our next next Christmas party.
Yeah.
Sorted. Well, guys, listen, that's a good introduction to Jay. We can't wait to have him on the floor here for CrossFit Dublin and within the Perpetua brand. Jay, thanks so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. And we'll see everyone again soon.
Unreal. Thank you so much.